Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, good morning, Thursday Paula Price Show. Dr. Price, how are you doing today?
I am wonderful today. You know, it's a little stormy here in the Oklahoma place, but then you might be the one to tell me if it's stormy all over the country. We've had a rough week, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been rough all over the place. I know there were different storms in Oklahoma yesterday. We were windy, though, and kind of overcast, and we are getting some rain here today, so we need the rain just without the destruction.
Yeah, you know, that's what we all see. But, you know, you have your fun little point, your little joke, you call it, can we just have the Lord speak, sprinkler? We don't really need the destruction. Can he just sprinkle the ground? So we're just calling for his sprinkler. You know, I want to welcome everybody today. Ashley, I absolutely love Thursdays. I love Block Talk Radio. I love the Paula Price Show. And I certainly love our audience. And so I want to say to them today, welcome. We have a great and exciting time planned for you. I was praying about it this morning, and God is very excited. I thank God for the people who are on the phone, the callers who are waiting, because we have a great time, I mean an awesome time, planned for you today. But, Ashley, we just came out of our retreat, and it was amazing. What do you think, Ashley, was the best part of the retreat for you?
I think the best part was finding out how apostleship fits in today and what serving as an apostle looks like compared to a pastor or a prophet or a teacher or an evangelist. That portion when you were breaking that down was very insightful to me.
Yeah, it was. You know, I appreciate it too. And I tell you what I also appreciated was the wonderful group that we had. It was an amazing team. I think we formed a very impressive bond, and I was looking forward to it this time, but it still certainly exceeded my expectations. And so for those who did attend, who are listening in today, I want to say thank you, and we look forward to getting together again in September because each one keeps outdoing the last one. And so I know that come September it's going to be a sound. But we have something else coming up, don't we, Ashley? What do we have coming up? Come on. This is a test. Come on. You're on it. Come on. Hot seat.
Do I have time to pray about it? We have our Tulsa Prophetic Forum coming up in June. It is almost upon us, June 19th through the 21st. I can't believe it. And we're just filling up our room block again. It has to be expanded because people are still coming and still registering and making their travel arrangements. So I am definitely fired up about that.
Well, and I tell you, this is really great. Our numbers this year have increased already, and we're still just in early May, you know? So that means God has something in store for the gathering prophets and prophetic people who join us in June. A little later in our show today, we're going to hear from Prophet Adia, who's going to tell us all the fun stuff that she has planned. You know, she likes doing that, and we like letting her do it. So that's going to be great. But, you know, Ashley, I was thinking today as I was praying about what the Lord would say. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about your place in God. But before we do, I'm going to break with routine just a little bit, Ashley, and say I want to pray for the daughters in Nigeria. You know, that thing stinks all the way up to heaven. That is a stench in the nose, the nostrils of the Almighty, that they would abduct these girls to make them slaves. And so I'm enlisting the prayers of everybody who's on the line with me today. We got power with God. We may not know how to get over there and wrestle with these ruthless folks, these savage people, but what we do have is power with the Almighty. And I'm asking that all of us stand together today. And we ask God to move from heaven to deliver those children, to bring them back into their homes, and to severely judge their abductors. And I'm asking God to send down from heaven and a destroying axe on human trafficking and human slavery. I rebuke that prince in Jesus' name, and we pull that thing down. I empower every law enforcement agent in the planet to find these people and to root them out. I take the shield off of them. I take the guards away from them, and I take the covers from their hiding places in Jesus' name, and I command that devil, that prince, to be revealed in everything he's using. I mean, from the top to the bottom, I give power. If I've got any power with God, everybody need to listen. If I've got 1 ounce of power, I empower the entire and law enforcement agency of the planet to destroy this prince from the inside out and to take this thing down. And I thank you, Jesus, for doing it. And God, we pull these girls back home, and we bind this attack against these children in this generation. That's not God. And I'll tell you, I don't think there's a parent on the planet who doesn't have a problem with this. This is vile. That is a vile spirit, and I rebuke that thing from the depth of my soul to the height of the throne of God. That shall not be. We will not have to wonder where our kids going to school. You are gonna pull kids out of school. The devil is a liar. That shall not be. And I'm asking each and every one of you out there listening to the sound of my voice to pray and to use your authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of God, the Prince of all principalities, and to bring these kids home and to destroy this thing from the root in Jesus' name. That is my prayer. Hallelujah. You know, I couldn't go on. That thing has messed with me for 4 days. I have been, I'm telling you. There is no way in the world you're going to tell me we got power with God and we got this kind of craziness going on. There's a whole lot of things that you know need to run their course and work out. That will not be. We will not allow that. There's no reason to say we filled with all the fullness of God and this kind of crazy is happening. I take this thing seriously. And that's what I'd like to talk about today as we go into what the Lord would speak in his admonishment. And I'm not just bringing these kids home. I'm bringing all these lost children home. All peace to their parents. There has to be closure. This cannot go. This is not God. You don't rob a generation. And if we don't rise up and do something about this, a whole generation, an entire generation, is lost. And we're not doing that. You don't decide to make somebody's baby, somebody, some crazy person's harem. That ain't God, and we're not going to allow that. We have to begin to pray and pray like we know we have power with God, and we have to begin to pray and pray like we mean it, because this is insane, and that's horrible. That's just horrible. I tell you, it's horrible. I'm telling you, there are certain things, you know, I don't get into political things because that's not what this particular time on Thursday is about. As a rule, I don't get into it because I feel like, okay, we'll all pray in our own prayer closets. We'll all pray in our own prayer circles. But there are times that the body of Christ must come together and mobilize as a unit in Christ and as a unit in God and put our collective strength and our collective faith to work to say, this cannot be. This cannot be allowed. We cannot allow this gate to open. Now, we know it's been trying to happen, and I've been praying quietly, but I'm telling you, when you see that kind of insanity that's going to sit there and tell you your kid's not safe, nuh-uh, because I don't care that it's in Nigeria. If it happens in one country and nobody stops it, every country is at risk. And that's why I say I empower every law enforcement agent on the planet to find these girls and every other one and bring our children home, because that's what the will of the Lord is on this. I want to say to you all today, hallelujah. That's the will of the Lord. I know God is moving on that. Because some, you know, he said whoever sins we retain are retained, and whoever sins we remit are remitted. And we have got to get to a place where we remember that we're not just Christians for songs and churches and candlesticks. We are Christians because God wants to have human conduits, human avenues to bring his will to pass and to preserve his society. That's why we do this. This is not just a matter of us deciding whether or not we agree with what the jots and the tittles and the hair pieces and the hair neck, the high heels and all of that. That's all home stuff. But when it comes time for us to establish ourselves as the body of Christ in the kingdom of God on this planet, we have to have one mind on that. And one mind I know we agree on is people's children should not be snatched and given to folk who want to destroy them. That is not the will of God. And I do know that when you read down in Scripture, one thing Christianity is known for, and that is preserving the widows, the orphans, and the children. God has always been about that, always. And so we need to stay on this. I'm asking all of you all to pray on this thing until heaven moves. I don't care how heaven moves. You know, we're going to leave the discretion up to God. But every one of you, we're going to pray and pray and push and push and push until this thing is resolved. I expect it to be broken wide open by the power of the Holy Ghost, because we have got to protect our generation. That's where God is. Let's protect our generation. So I want to talk a little bit today. You know, you see, Ashley, I'm hot. You can see that, right?
Yeah, well, that's a hot topic. It's crazy. And the arrogance of it all, and just the bold, I mean, it's just disgusting.
It's vile. There are certain things that, you know, God doesn't go for sin and crime. He doesn't go for any of that. But there are certain things that's a stench in his nostrils. And when it is, earth needs to be afraid, because there are certain things that are so vile that God has to intervene. You know, he said, the earth I've given into the hands of the sons of men. People wonder, why doesn't he intervene in everything? Because God leaves it up to us. He leaves it up to us to want a safe life. God leaves it up to us to want a pure life. His kingdom is working. He's doing fine. But he leaves it up to us. That's why we have agencies. You notice I didn't just pray, God move. I empowered the agencies that God would use. The police officers and the agents and all of those officials who are charged with this. They are Romans 13 ministers. They are God's ministers for righteousness. And I'm standing on Romans 13 when I say God empowered them to do this job. But God doesn't get involved in a whole lot of things, because he's actually allowing us to grow up, to find our own way, to figure out what works for making a society thrive and what will destroy it, and for us to contend with stuff because he's empowered us to do it. Now, a lot of people don't know that's what the cross included. You know, part of the cross campaign included that, and it did beforehand. But there are times when something God knows is at work that's more powerful than humanity. And when that thing gets to working that is more powerful than humanity, that's when it's a cinch to heaven. Then he has to act, because now God's dealing on his own turf. He's not just dealing in human stuff. And this is one of those times that God is acting, because that cinch is more, this thing at work is more powerful than humanity. And we have got to continue to pray to end this. That is not something that we want to have on the record of the planet, that we can't defend some children going to school. I don't care what school, I don't care what your nation is, I don't care what your nationality is, we don't care about any of that, because I'm going to tell you something, anything that brash against one daughter is brash against all daughters, and every one of us have got to take responsibility for making this happen. I may not be able to hunt and root, but I can pray, and I know I've got power with God. I know that if I don't know anything else in my life, I know I've got power with the Lord and power with the Holy Ghost, and I know God has a real problem with this. And I know that whenever he has a problem with something, he moves. And when he moves, none can stop him. You know, God wrote in Deuteronomy, I think one of the things that probably stunned me about him the most, he said, but you know, if my hand takes hold of judgment, and if I pull my glittering sword, if I wet it, he said, it will not return to its sheath until I've accomplished all my judgment. Now, that is an interesting statement, because God is one of those, like, don't get me started. And you know, if we have to have it in today's vernacular, Ashley, we'd have to say, God's saying, don't get me started now. Don't get me riled up. Now, I'm ready to let you all run this list. Okay, you know, you can run it. I'm leaving it alone. But don't get me started, because, see, I don't start and stop. God's not digital. He's not going to start and stop. God is one straight move, and he's not going to stop until it's over. And so I say to you that this is one of those times that we do need, and we all need to, as God's people and as humanity, just human beings, we all have to say this cannot be allowed to happen in our era. You know, there are certain things that every generation says, this will not be on my watch. As far as I'm concerned, this is one of those things, not the only one. Because there's a whole lot of injustice and atrocities in the world, and I don't even want to start with that. But I do know that this is one that he has put on my heart as an atrocity that should not happen on our watch, and that should not gain momentum or silent approval on our watch. So I thank God for the people who are protesting. I give them power. I thank God for the folks who are fighting this. I give them power from on high by the Holy Ghost that they would move, that God would use them to bring this thing to a wholesome and prayerfully a safe close. That's what my prayer is, and I know that it will be. So, but I want to talk to some of us because I started out saying, you know, this is where I am. You know, the Lord is sanctioning us today in this new era. He's sanctioning us to know our place in God and to function from our place and to deal with people from their place in Him. You know, God is getting ready to reach. I mean, He's already been shuffling. You know, He's been shuffling the deck for a while to get people ready to move into this new thing that He's doing. There is a whole new dispensation that's being opened up, and it is one of power, but it's the power for purpose. You know, the church is accustomed to God exercising His power every now and again with healing lines. As far as I've ever seen, and I've been in Christ since 1982. I've never left the Lord Jesus. I've never left His church. I've never went and investigated something else, whatever, because He just caught me at the end of my crazy. So I pretty much had gotten all the crazy out of my system. And so, but I've been in God since 1982. And every time I've heard anybody celebrate about the powers of God and the move of God in Christ, it has always just been about a healing line. Who got a devil cast out? Who got an ear? Who got some healing, et cetera? We had a couple of, you'd have a couple of secondary testimonies about somebody He fed or whatever. But for the most part, we have confined the Lord's power to our personal benefit. And talking about us personal being the collective body of Christ or whoever happens to be in a prayer line. A minister is considered powerful if folks shake, quake, and fall out, you know, because everything is about that. So we've come to a point where we actually have begun to trivialize the power of God Almighty, to trivialize the supremacy of His Holy Spirit in the planet. And His Holy Spirit is how He does everything that He does in the planet. You know, people often ask, well, how does God do this or that? By the Holy Spirit, by His Holy Ghost, He does everything because God's Holy Spirit is His pervasive self. And God's Son is the Almighty's portable self. He's how the Almighty gets around. So when God wants to do something huge and pervasive, He does it by His Spirit because His Spirit has no bounds, no limits, etc., and His Spirit is fully God. Often people don't realize that about the Holy Spirit. So we, you know, we get caught up using it for parlor tricks and games, and a lot of times it isn't even the Holy Spirit who's on a parlor trick, because I cannot imagine the Sovereign Almighty allowing Himself to be tossed around like a kid ball while we play games. But that's a whole other discussion. What I want to say in this discussion is that the Lord is moving differently in this dispensation by His power. He is moving in a way that we have not really thought about before. And many of you listening to me today have had dreams, you've had visions, some of you have had prophecy, and others have just had an unction that God is not only doing a new thing, but He's doing a very new thing with you. And out of you who are listening and have received this message from Him, many of you out of that group know that God is moving with you in a different power. Some of you are afraid. You're afraid to mention the powers that God is talking about, and probably understandably so. I won't say rightly so, but I can say understandably so, because we only know God in one dimension. And if people aren't sick, dying, in crises, we don't know the power of God. We don't know the omnipotence of God. We don't know that God wants to do more than just grow, you know, return an eye, grow a leg, you know, heal a toe, and all of that. God wants to do that, but that He's given to the entire body. But God, from Genesis to Revelation, has always had people who were in a potent place in Him. For the sake of this discussion, I'm calling it a potent place. not just a place of authority, but a place of power. If you read your scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talk about a place in God, a particular place. It mentions the, you know, after that, miracles, and, you know, first with first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, and then after that, miracles and governments and all of that. So it runs this list down for us. But there, and then when you read it, and Paul reiterates that in 1 Corinthians 12:29, and those of you, when you get an opportunity, get home tonight and you do your Bible study or whatever, read the two passages. He calls the worker, he starts with saying miracles, but in 29 he said workers of miracles. And he says, by implication, not everyone is that kind of worker of miracles. Now, we can all have the 1 Corinthians 12:7-11 manifestations of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will use anybody in the body to do anything he wants, because remember, he's God pervasively. He's God without a body. And if you don't have a body, then you have already broken the bounds of time and space, and you've already broken the bounds of the physical world. So there you go. Now, so God is saying in 1 Corinthians 12, I'm saying this because I'm gearing up some of you all for what God wants to do. This is a gear-up admonishment, especially those of you who have suffered extreme hardship and you don't know why. And it's just been, you know, God has had to on-hold. You feel like you're a thoroughbred pent up and everybody else is running the track, and you realize somebody has locked your gate and you can't get out. And so, but there's a reason. And so in 1 Corinthians 12:29, it says workers of miracles. So I looked that up, and of course we know, you know, basically, and I've put a lot of teaching out on this. Didn't even know. I started it years ago. But basically, God is talking about those who willed by ministerial calling, ministerial operation, the dunamis of God. I've named this person the Dunamite because that's what they are. These are the people that God uses to do the spectacular as much a course of their ministry as preaching. So there is the preaching, and then there's the preaching with exercise of powers, demonstrations of the Holy Spirit. Now, we've got from Genesis to Revelation, God has these kinds of people. And you don't realize it because we ignored that. And a lot of you all have been raised in those New Testament-only churches, so you have no idea how extraordinary God is and how extraordinarily he can use a human being. And that is why I make a big deal about the dunamite, because it seems like this is a casual person. Read it yourself. It's their workers. It takes it from an impersonal power or resource, and it endows it with persona, a person, workers of miracles. God has people that he has always used. When you think about, let's take going all the way back, let's take Abraham. Abraham has 300 soldiers, the end, 300. I mean, really just a large household, 300 soldiers. Now, we're not talking about high army. We're not even talking about him being a state with a military, 300 soldiers. And yet, he wipes out five kings. Now, when we read it in church, we like five kings, so we think of five people. Well, everybody knows that 300 soldiers can certainly eliminate five human beings. But what if we stopped thinking church and began to think kingdom? If we did, we would say Abraham with 300 soldiers took out five kingdoms, because those kings weren't just fighting. They had armies. Well-developed armies, sophisticated armies for that day, skillful swords, warriors, fighters. And yet God made Abraham's 300 the equivalent of whatever it would take to remove five nations. Now, I know we have people, because, you know, folk who don't have it, you know, the people who don't have something will always and can't get it will always tell you it's wrong. The people who have it will tell you what's right with it, because they're the ones that's yielding harvest. So there's going to be two sides of this, but I want to say to those of you who know God is calling you to do more than just preach, teach, and sling oil, God is going to visit many of you, many of us. And he's going to have a dispensation of power such as the church and this world has not seen. And not the powers of darkness. You know, you look at TV and you look at, when you look at television, you look at witchcraft, it's all about destruction, not God. It's all about protection, defense, restoration, etc. And so we're going to see that. Now, so he's got these five kings. And so who meets him? God's king, Melchizedek, king of Salem. And Melchizedek lets him know, we are the invisible powers that helped you pull that off. So we move on down the line, and we get from Genesis, and we go, and we see a few other things that are wonderful spots and stories. And then we get to Moses, and we all know the Moses story. Extraordinary exploits. The guy dies at 120, not needing eyeglasses or a crutch. All right? We don't want to talk about the fact that God gave Abraham a whole new life. I mean, the whole lease on life. Gave him his youth, gave him his virility back, gave him his strength. The man turns around, ends up with like almost three wives, at least children by three different kinds of women. Sarah's gone, he gets Keturah, gets six more sons. Because God is in the mood to show off. We can go on down the line and we can look at Moses. We know the Moses story. Look at David. If you read the Psalms, God made David something powerful. He said, I can bend a bow with my bare hands. I can bend a bow. As a kid, he's killing she bears and lions and stuff. Okay? Why? Because God needs people who will believe him and his strength. And we go on down the line. We look at Deborah, and we look at her and Barak fighting. And we look at this woman, and everybody looks at Deborah and say, wow, isn't that nice? She has this wonderful little hut under the tree, and people just came to her. And we act like people just came to her to read fortunes. No. She had in her own, whatever her dwelling place might have been, that was her capital C, because God had made her head of the nation, which is why she can call them to arms. But what you don't realize is that the girl was a warrior. For all of you all who think Deborah was just a really powerful prophetess. But she wasn't. She was a warrior. She knew how to wield a sword. She knew how to get in battle and get in combat. And we can go down a little further. We can go down to Samson. God purposely begot a kid who was superhuman. His own, quote-unquote, Hercules, so to speak. These are real things. And so we can go on down the line. And the problem with the Christian church that has kept you only in the New Testament and in the modern logic of the scriptures. You know, we have modern logic. And so we've kept you in that, and we tell you all of that's done away with. This is what we tell you. And we tell you it's done away with because, let's be real. First of all, we don't want to think God's going to give one person something he hasn't given everybody. We don't want to believe that God has made one person sing better than another person, dance better than another person, better than another person. We don't want to think that God has made some people really high mathematicians and some people elementary school math teachers. You know, we don't want to think that, but that is what happened. And so we can go on down the line. My personal favorite, in addition to those that we've talked about, another one of my personal favorite is Elijah. This guy had all kinds of power. All the time, not just now and again, all the time. So much so that the kings knew that it was hard to arrest them. And we can move on down the line. But I can tell you right now, the point having been made, God is ready to do that and more again with his people in vessels filled with his Holy Spirit, not just endowed by. But vessels who are constructed like his son. That is the supremacy of the new creation, the supremacy of the new birth. It's not that we can all stand around and sing wonderful songs and isn't that great, you know, and we think God has stopped doing it. No. People have stopped talking about it. You know, we watch the CNN, but if we had God's News Bureau, you'd hear that he has never stopped. He has people who do some phenomenal things for him every day and not just get delivered from drugs, and delivered from addictions, or not just get healed from a disease. We're talking about people who pull off phenomenal feats for him every single day. Now, they don't make it into the media because, let's get real, the media is not trying to promote Jesus Christ. They try to get rid of him. But God has his own media force, and these people are recording what God is doing. Proven, done. God wants a ton of dunamite, and he's getting ready to flood the planet with them. And some of you may be that. I prophesied this to you because I know what I'm saying is the truth. Now, I'll tell you how you'll know a lot of these people, how you'll know when God is shifting you. Because God will always start people like this off with very hard lives, very hard. You know, if you're going to have the you know, we've seen it with money, but money is just one thing. But if you're going to be one for any kind of a miracle, wherever your obstacle is, that's where God is going to turn around and make it your power. And so we've cried and, well, you know, I can't keep friends or I can't keep this or we can't. Don't worry about that. When you start flipping that into how God is grooming you because he's giving you an invincible heart. See, if folk can't break your heart, they can't break your will. And so God has been working you through these things to give you an invincible heart and an adamant mind, made-up mind. When he can give you those two things and you're no longer walking around crying about how good you've been to God and how bad he's been to you in return, and you're no longer weeping over what you lost but understanding that the loss was for the gain, and you begin to think like God thinks, because, see, God thinks very, very peculiar in comparison to us. And when you begin to think like God thinks, I'm telling you, you and God are going to move into another dimension. This man has great plans on the books for this planet, and he's about to get geared up for it. He has been unleashing and dispatching angels. I mean, I'm talking about hosts and hosts and hosts of angels have been moving into this planet for the last 12 years. They've been filing in, filing in, filing in. And we've been missing it as a church because we've been too busy being mad with God and then trying to be like the world. We've been too busy trying to stamp out Christianity, so we haven't been really looking for the greatness and the supremacy of it. But there is a few. There are a few of us who know God's not done, Jesus is not dead, and the church is not out. And so we know that for a number of reasons. So I'm telling you, some of you, God's going to make you change your testimony. He's going to make you stop, dry your eyes, blow your nose, clear your face, and start looking at why he brought you the way he brought you. You're going to say it, and I'll tell you how you know, because he will remind you of just moments in time, just moments in your trials and moments in your darkness that you had something unbelievable happen that you pulled off. And you still can't explain to anybody how you did it. God's doing some amazing things in his body of Christ. And this passive, whining, laid on the side of the road, kind of, or hidden in the rocks body that we see today, that's not the church. But what he's getting ready to unveil, that's going to be the body of Christ. And these are a formidable people. They're not your everyday saints. These are a formidable people. These are people that they won't sell out because they won't be bought out because they've already spent 25, 30 years saying no. And God says, I need you to recognize that I am today working in my body an invincible heart, a heart that cannot be broken. He said, and a steely will, because when you have an invincible heart, you will have a steely will. When they can't break your heart, they can't break your will. And God is getting ready to trust those who have stood and having done all to stand therefore. And you're going to hear it because they're going to be different. Some of you are going to move away from where you grew up in church. Some of you are going to move away from mentors. Some of you are going to move away, not for condemnation purposes, but because it's time for you to be revealed. See, that's Heshedabo. God is about to reveal some folks. And I'm telling you, what we're going to see as the Christian of today and tomorrow will look nothing like the Christian that we remember. That is why God is so publicly allowing those who are not interested in him to appear to have taken center stage. See, it's a good, it works well for God, because while everybody's eyes is on them, they're not going to pay attention to what God is really revealing until he's done. But the Bible said, you know, in John 4, he said, but you know, nothing in this earth can compare to the glory that's about to be revealed in us. And God is, you know, I told you before, God's the master of understatement. He says glory. You have to research the word to understand what it really means when he says glory. Because he's not just talking about bright, shiny skin and very, you know, brilliant oil. You know, you don't look like a light bulb. But he's talking about something that's always related to power. So I'm speaking to the saints, the Christian, who already know what God's issues are, because he never does this without a purpose. He's doing this because he's raising up a people who will fearlessly and resolutely take care of his issues. And there are a lot of you. There are not just a handful. There are tons of you around the globe. And everybody looks at you and think, oh, my goodness, I wonder why God's not blessing them. Why is that? I'm telling you, not all, but there are a lot. And you're going to find out. And as we move into the days to come, even the months to come, in a few months, God is going to start doing spectacular things that even the darkness can't ignore. And they're going to make the books. And we're going to find out that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that God cannot change. And that heaven has not relinquished its responsibilities or its obligations or its affection for earth. And we're going to have a blast in this time. It's going to be special. And it's going to be like, it won't, you know, I know a lot of folks feel it, and y'all went over to the occult side and started doing that whole learning the depths of Satan thing. That's not what I'm talking about. So trust me, those people, they're not the ones, because the true folk know God, and they know how God moves, and they know how God thinks. And I want you to recognize, even as I begin to wrap this up, there are many, many, many of you out there who have things that you have not shared, could not share, wish you could share, and know good and well that if you ever tried to share it, my God, you were like, folks going to think you're crazy. Well, it's still not time to share it. I'm going to tell you right now, still not time, because it's not that time in the sense of knowing that folks will get it. But this word is to make you feel at peace, for you to rest at some of the things that God is saying that make no sense to your natural mind and to popular theology. I'm telling you, you are going to have a blast as you enter what the Lord is going to do. It's going to be great for all of us who are going to say, my God, we are glad we held on. We are glad we did not give up. We are glad that God caused us to stand, having done all to stand therefore. We are going to be glad about that. And I'm telling you, I'm glad about it, and I wanted some of you, many of you, to have a peace, because you did not know that God was with you. You did not know how much God was with you, you know? And now you're going to find out that, yeah, it looked like God had forsaken you. It looked like he just put you off to the side of the road. Looked like he just did not really care about what was going on with you. But God is saying, now you're going to know that I am with you. And he said, I'm not only with you, I am for you. You know, and I'm going to close with this scripture because I think you should really look it up yourself. But it's Psalm, I want to say it's Psalm, help me get it right, Psalm 28:5. And it says, now, there's a lot to look for here, but this is an interesting word. So because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hand. He shall destroy them and not build them up. The focus here I want you to look up is the word operation, because it is an amazing term. And really, it is what we're saying. We don't know how God operates. That's why half of us are doing stuff we do, and that's why the other half are angry with him, because he hasn't done what we want him to do, because we don't know how God operates. But you should look this word up, because there is, I look at this word, and it has terms. And listen to this, meaning to say how God transacts his business, how God brings about a product, okay, how God acts, periodly, the deeds he does, the labors he puts, I mean, you have to work, understand God's workmanship. There is a way that God does things, pursues his business, undertakes enterprises, the way he labors, the way he wants his deliverance, all of those kinds of things. You need to know that that's what is going to make determine who you are, because you want to know how God works this. Let's think about one last one. Let's think about just one last one. Think about Elisha. You know, he's out there, and one of the prophets lose an axe head. He understood how to operate God's thing for God's glory. You know, a lot of people, you know, when you look at the occult, they break in. They're like criminals breaking in your house, or the folk hacking the network. They hack into God's world to operate it illegally, not for his good, but against him. But God, that's not what he gives those that he's calling his Zunamites in this hour. You, whole different group of people, and different things are going to happen. So I wanted to give you that because I felt like it would be an encouragement to those of you who are sitting on the fence wondering, Lord, when? Lord, when? You know, all of us are there probably. Lord, when? God, when? Okay, Jesus. Now, and he's still at, wait. Just wait a minute. Just hold on. Hold on. Wait for it. Don't run ahead of me. Don't lose patience. So if you're brokenhearted today and you feel like God has forgotten you, he won't even tell you what he's got on his mind, it seems like he's got it all silent and he won't even let you know, and every day you're kind of groping in the dark and somehow a little bit boxing, blindfolded, swinging at the air, that's not a futile thing. It appears futile because that's human response to not having God's answer right away. Whenever God ceases to talk, we start falling into futility. We just lapse into it. It's just how we do. But if you are brokenhearted today, and you know you and God have been at it a long time, if you're one of those people who started things over and over again, and oh my goodness, and nothing works, and you've tried and tried and tried, and you can't even tell people the bizarre things that stopped you from going ahead. You can't even voice it because you're like, people will think I'm crazy if I tell them this really happened. Think about it. Understand there is no mistake in God. All of that has a tactical, practical advantage for the Lord. And in the appropriate time, he's going to pull all your broken pieces and all of your lost things and all of that, pull it all together for a purpose and to bring about his eternal plan, his redemptive plan for the planet. Because God, wherever there's powers of darkness, you better know the light precedes the darkness. So if you see a lot of darkness, you better know the light is mounting up. And God is mustering the light, even as we speak. And it's mounting up because he is not losing control of his world to crazy. He will not do it. He promised this to his son. He's not letting anyone take it from him. So I wanted to share that, Ashley. I thought that was a direction that we needed to go into because I feel the people's burden. I feel so many of the new guard's restlessness and frustration and futility. I feel it, and I know that God wanted to encourage you. Don't lose hope because right now is our redemption nearer than when we first believed. Now is our salvation. Now is our induction nearer than when we first believed. And so I wanted to share this. So guess what, Ashley? I'm giving you a window of comments. Isn't that nice of me?
It is very kind of you. You're a kind host. I thought that was a very therapeutic, I would say, kind of word to people on pulling back but calming down and getting a new perspective or a different perspective on what is going on. So many times we get a word from God and we're like, hey, it's been 3 years, it's been 5 years, it's been 10 or 15 or even 20 years. When God went. And those are natural responses like you talked about, but to get that bigger picture, talking about Deborah. I love it. Oh, she wasn't just sitting under the tree telling fortune. Hey, guys, you know, tomorrow you're going to get two new camels, three mules. No, it was a little bit deeper than that for her and what she had to do, because we oftentimes do fall into a storytelling fable approach to dealing with the people in the Bible. We call them characters. I mean, we call them mm-hmm. characters. We rarely call them people. We call them characters in the Bible. Characters are usually made up or they're based on somebody real, but somebody else has crafted them for what they want and not that is the actual history book. So I think even some of that terminology fosters a fantastical point of view that we approach the word. And when you talked about Abraham with his 300 taking out five nations, not five people, that's kind of different a little bit, and it shows Abraham in a light. We say Father Abraham, and again, we bring him down to Daddy God. He was a Father Abraham. Yeah, he was a guy. What happened with Abraham? Oh, you know, he was just old before God fulfilled the promise. He had some kids. We had some problems. They worked it out. Boom, here we are today. And that's kind of the extent of Abraham, Lot, whatever, but never thinking about the man as a warrior. You think about Abraham, you don't think of Abraham. You don't think of a sword when you think of Abraham. And so I love the perspective that you put on this and how God is about to reveal his people. And we need to be busy about preparing ourselves for the reveal that God is doing so we don't become what we have now judged. Whatever we have, our judgments against the current leaders and current pastors and whatever, because we're so sure we know how they got there, that we are not ourselves allowing God to strengthen us, purge us, sanctify us, cleanse us, point some things out, run us around the track a few more times, get us in shape for endurance. Because a lot of us, Dr. Price, you know, we have enthusiasm, but we don't have endurance. And unfortunately, they do not transfer, because if anybody has run 1 mile, you know that the enthusiasm that you had in your driveway and the endurance that you need to have to not just get out there, but get back home. That's the issue. Getting out there is like, yeah, adrenaline, yeah, I could do it. And then you look up and see how many miles are behind you, and you have to call home for somebody to come and pick you up. And so it's kind of how we do. It's kind of how we do with God. Yeah, God, send me. I have it. Boom. And we go out and start running, and then we cannot endure to the end. And the end is not necessarily getting out there. It's bringing it back home for the Lord. We need to bring it back for God. And so those are some lessons that I've learned. And through your, of course, your infinite wisdom and your posts on Facebook every morning and everything you're laying down is about bringing home the win. And all of these great people that you named today and the encouragement, exhortation, and, you know, sprinkles of admonishment are about, we need to be able to bring this thing home and not have to call somebody to pick us up. Or, you know, you run your 10 miles and then you have to stop and get a fast food meal because you don't have the strength to get back. You have to bulk up on the things you just burned off on to return. So I appreciate, of course, your wisdom and counsel.
Well, I appreciate your comments and your observations because they're important. And it means a lot. You know, I was thinking about that even as you were talking. I said, but, you know, we have to be able to think more about getting God the win, and like you just said, bringing it home. Let's bring home this thing for the Lord, because we don't think about that. We have been told it's our ministry. We do it our way. We make it happen the way we see fit, and on. And we forget that God has a purpose, and that purpose is to accomplish some things, you know? And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about where we're going with Christ, but I'm also excited about learning how to deal with Christ. I encourage everybody to study that one phrase, the operation of his hand. That, to me, revolutionized how I see God. First of all, I didn't think God had an operation of hand. There you go. Okay, so I didn't think that. I never imagined that. I figured God is sitting in heaven waiting for us all to be born and die for him to get to work. It's not, and I believe that I'm not alone in that. It was never in my consciousness to think that God did anything. I think the other thing that stunned me was when Jesus came and he said, I work, I've been working, and my Father's been working. We've been working. I'm like, God work? What kind of work is God doing? Because we're so disconnected from his reality. His reality doesn't speak to us because we're too busy bombarding his throne with our reality. And so we don't imagine that God has a work, that he's been working, that he has a system, a way of operating. But if you're going to be a high minister in his service, you need to know that, and you need to be clear on it. Those are the things that we cover in our events. Those are the things that we talk about in our forum. We covered an extraordinary amount of that kind of information in our retreat. We will do it again in our forum, not to that degree, but a little bit, again in our summit and in the next retreat. Why? All that I'm doing is to push for that, you know, to push us into a place where we can work pragmatically with the Most High instead of dramatically. Because we dramatize everything with God. Everything's a drama with God. But what if we move from the dramatic to the pragmatic, started working with how he does business? I can say, I know, we'll step out and do amazing things and great feats, but we will not be blindsided by expecting things that just cannot be or things that only his enemy will do, even if he is disguising them as Christ. So I thought that was interesting. You know what I'm going to do, too, Ashley? We were talking about this a little bit this morning. We're going to hear from our prophet on the ground, and I'm sure she has a little bit of comments because I want to hear from our callers. I'm going to take calls. We're going to do that. But I would like to hear from a couple of callers, Ashley, what they thought about today. I thought today was an unusual admonishment. I would like to get some of their insights, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes.
I'd like to get a couple. And here's the thing now. You get online. If you start preaching, you're going to automatically drop off, and you're not going to know why you drop off the call. If you start preaching, you're going to drop off. If you start rambling, you're going to drop off. If you're going to tell your testimony and not address the point that we're talking about today, you're going to drop off. You're not going to know what happened to your call. We're just going to say that your provider just probably lost your call. And we're going to leave it with that, okay? But understand, your call will be lost. So if you want to make a comment on today, you want to say how God has been, if you can affirm this, confirm it, how God may have been moving in such a manner with you, and you can do so succinctly, then we want to hear from you. If you're going to preach, your provider is going to lose your call. So I thought we'd make that really clear. Do you think I made it clear enough, Prophet?
Yes, you did, and I am the provider with the button.
Because here's what we don't want to do. We don't want to confuse the spirit of Christ by everybody seizing the day for their own purpose. That's already what God is in this mess. I want to hear from you. I want to hear if God is talking to you that way. If you have an experience like, I want to know about it, but I want to know about it, not your whole life story and your journey from the cross to the grave. I don't want to know about that today. There might be a time we'll ask. And again, don't set it up for your provider to lose your call. Now, before we go on our calls, what is Prophet Adia anywhere in the vicinity?
You know she is.
I am here, Dr. Paula Price. I am here. I am excited. I'm listening to the program today. What a powerful, powerful show today. I love the diversity of the Paula Price Show, but I also love how relevant and in the moment it is. There are a lot of people standing with you, Dr. Price, in your prayer for the Nigerian girls. I think that really resounds all around the world. So I thank you for just moving with the Spirit of the Lord. I love that, being willing to change the program to do what God needs in the moment. I think the most impactful thing that I'm still chewing on, you mentioned a little bit earlier in your exhortation that we must, as the collective body of Christ, we have to stop combining God's power to our personal benefits. My God, I feel like that is a way that we have really gone a little bit astray in terms of taking the reins of God's kingdom and bringing him advancements and really fighting for God's interest. And I really am looking for the body of Christ to get back on task. Let's get back on task unto God's interest. So I thank you for that. There are a lot of other things, but I don't want Prophet Ashley to push the button on me. So I'm gonna talk about so we can get to these callers. Callers, if you're on the line right now and you want to speak on what Dr. Price has put out about whether or not these experiences identify with you, then you want to make sure that you press 1 so Prophet Ashley can hear from you and get to you. So go ahead, take a moment to do that now if you want to be one of the featured speakers to talk on this. I want to let you guys know about a few things that are going on, so get your pen and paper handy or your electronic device, since we are in the technological age, so that you can jot down a few things that are going on. The Tulsa Prophetic Forum is just about a month away. I cannot believe it. We have been counting down to this major event since the beginning of the year. It is one of our most dynamic, exciting events that we do every year. Listen, if you're on the line right now and you have not registered for the forum, what are
you waiting for? You need to get here in Tulsa in June. This kicks off on the 19th. The first full day is the 19th of June. It's just 3 short days. We are in. We are out. You're going to wish it was longer when you get here, so do not miss this. You can go to drpaulaprice.com so that you can get yourself registered. The early bird is over. Say it with me. The early bird is over. The early bird gets the worm, guys. So if you have not gotten early bird, that is okay. You can still register with us. The registration right now is $125. Again, drpaulaprice.com. You can register for the form. If you are a married couple, you go for $85 per person. Guess what? If you were in class of 2013 and you attended with us and you have not yet registered or taken advantage of our BOGO special, we actually do have a special rate for you. You can give us a call at 877-419-1299 so you can find out what that special rate is for you to attend the form. Also, if you are one of our program students, if you are taking a program with us, whether that's your personal advisement program or a ministry advisement training program, you also get a discount to come to the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. So we want you to give us a call, or if you're a student in the program, just contact your advisor. They'll let you know how you can register for the forum at a discount because we want to see you there. I want to talk to the groups for just a moment. If you're listening out there, you're an apostle, you have a prophetic company, or you're a senior prophet and you lead your own ministry and have your own prophetic team, the forum is just the event that you're looking for to help strengthen your team, to educate them all at once, give them hands-on practicum training that they can take back with them. We want to see you at the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. If you are a group of 10 or more, your discount is $75 per person. It just doesn't get better than that. We want to make sure that you attend with us. So give us a call if you're registering a group. It is not too late to register the group for the discount. That group discount never ends. You can register right up to the minute, but we want to know early so we can make sure we have space for you. So call us 877-419-1299 so that you can get all the details on how to get your group registered. The lineup for 2014 is going to be power-packed. Prophet Jonathan Ferguson is going to join us again. If you were here last year, you know that that was powerful. If you weren't, get here this year so you can have a story to tell too. And he's going to be awesome. We're going to have Dr. Terry Thompson back with us, Apostle Nona Parker of the Chicago area, Apostle Sally Cheney, Chief Prophet Tala Price. It's going to be power-packed, and you don't want to miss it. So again, drpaulaprice.com. to register for the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. Last, certainly, never least, there's a bus that is coming down from the Chicago area. Apostle Nona Parker of Antioch Christian Assembly up in Joliet is bringing an entire troop down here from that area, and you can get on that bus too. If you live close by, you can meet them up in Joliet and take that bus down to Tulsa. It is not a school bus, folks. It's a nice commercial bus. You're going to have a comfortable ride, and guess what? You're going to save some money. So if you're in that area, we want you to join them and come on down on that bus that's coming to Tulsa. For more information on that, you can actually go to their website and hit that contact us on their website. That address is www.antiochcaci.org, and then you can hit contact me so that they can contact you with information on how you can be a part of that bus that is coming down. Of course, we want you to shop online with us. If you're looking for products, go ahead and check out the online store and see what's new online. Go to drpaulaprice.com and click shop for products, and you can get instantly connected to everything that Dr. Price has going on. Follow Dr. Price on Facebook. Follow Dr. Price on Twitter. You can look her up under Dr. Paula Price on both of those sites so that you can be in the know. Prophet Ashley, I'm going to turn it back to you.
Well, all right, Prophet Adia. Thank you for the 411 on what's going on in the wonderful world of Dr. Paula Price, who never stops moving. You know you're under a real apostle if you never stop moving, because they never stop moving. You always say, Dr. Price, you're chasing us, but I contend we're chasing you.
Which means we're all running the same race. And, you know, I want to thank you for not having Prophet Adia's provider drop her call. I'm sure she appreciates it.
I could never drop Prophet Adia's call.
Oh, God. Well, I'm excited. Ashley, I wanted to have maybe a couple of a message or two. I'm sure you have something else stored up for us for a message or two. When we come back, we will come back to our callers. Now, remember, I'm going to pray. We're going to counsel. We're going to do everything that we normally do. But we also want to hear from you because there are times that, for example, Ashley, think about all of the people who say, you know, this is how this helped me. Do you know how powerful that is and how empowering it is? Because the more we have good words, I like the way Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 6:25, Job 6:25 says, you know, how forceful are right words. That's the King James Version. And so we said, but how forceful are right words? You know, the more right words we get out here on this thing and the more right words we get out here on Jesus Christ and the more right words we get out on Christianity, the more forceful we're going to be. How powerful are right words? I bet you a lot of you never believed, never thought that the reason that the enemy has you bashing Christ and bashing the church, etc., is because your words are battering rams to weaken it. But what if you turn that around and say, how forceful are right words? What if we start saying the right things about our Lord and Savior, the right things about his church, the right things about it? Everybody's got problems. Come on, nobody's 100%. Yeah, we know who slipped, but for everyone that slips, there are dozens who never waver. We don't ever celebrate the ones who never waver. We don't celebrate the churches and the denominations that stand after stand after stand after. Oh, my God. Some of these denominations, hundreds of years old, still standing for Christ, still pushing forward. So we're going to have a campaign on right words about Jesus, right words about church, right words about God. We're not going to partner with his enemy in dismantling his kingdom or his hedge around his church. You know I'm hot on that, Ashley. You know I get hot on that. So we're going to have a couple of messages, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to listen to some of you all with some right words, forceful words. Now, remember, stay on point. Stay on topic. We want to hear from you. Now, so we might intersperse these calls. I'm not sure. Ashley, they usually tell you. We might intersperse them, but every call is valuable. You need counsel. You're still going to get counsel today. You're going to get prayer. You're going to get the word of the Lord. You're going to get blessed. But we want to hear some other things, too. All right, Ashley. Go for it.
Have you ever wondered, why do I hear from God? Is what happens when I pray normal? Why do I think so differently? Is my relationship with God unusual? How do I explain my experiences with God? Does anyone else experience these things? I have so many talents, but how do I find my purpose? I know I'm called to ministry, but where do I begin? These daily questions lead to one solution. Introducing the Standardized Ministry Assessments Series. What was on God's mind when He made you? Find out how our assessments can help you uncover your greatest mystery, you. Our standardized ministry assessments consist of 800 ministry-specific questions, 114 ministry-based categories, 50 ministry classifications, a comprehensive gift analysis, fivefold office identifiers, automatic response indicators, targeted benchmark scoring, automated result interpretations, custom readiness path options, call-specific recommendations, personal ministry advisement. Is this basically a personality test? No. Your results are custom designed and not based on the traditional data used to determine your personality type or IQ. Instead, your results come from you, how you think, and what you believe, not predetermined categories into which you must loosely fit. Dr. Paula Price's nearly 25 years of research and experience see to that. How is this different from a spiritual gift test? Our assessments are not a test, and assess more than just your spiritual gift, what you are good at and may be interested in doing for your church. We help you define your ministry calling, how ready you are to do it full-time, the type of training you need to do it well, and the best place for you to prosper whether in or out of the church. They don't just give you a number, they give you a life plan. We offer three levels of assessments: the Ministry Assessment Questionnaire, the Prophetic Aptitude Questionnaire, the Apostolic diagnostic. So what's your ministry IQ? Discover yours today. www.drpaulaprice.com or call 877-649-PPMG.
I wanted to take a few minutes to tell you why you want to get this course. Yes, you want to know who you are. Yes, you want to know what God sent you to do. But it is not enough to know thyself. You need to know those that the Lord has assigned to work with you, to labor with you, to understand you, to hold up your hands, and to understand that they're not just volunteers helping out, but they are a fixtures. They are affixed to your commission. They are your fixtures. They're your pillars, your founders, your ground. They're your communicators, your extenders, whatever you want to call them, and it's all of that. You need someone to fit all of those capacities. And so I want you to consider using my brand new teaching, building your commission team, stage one, if you're an apostle or an apostolic minister, because it's all the same. But what distinguishes what this teaching does is not that we're telling people about their ministry. No, we're taking people who are already in ministry or who are predisposed to ministry and who are competent or show potential for competency. And we're telling them, you're assigned to not just help me preach the word or help me spread the word. You're assigned to help me establish something in the earth, build it from the ground up, or fortify it if it's already in existence, and expand it. You want a commission team is about perpetuity, not just performance. And that is what commission training is. So may I encourage you to go to my website and to click, I want this commission team. You can go to ppmglobalresources.com and say, I didn't understand it. Now I know. And it's going to give you a blueprint. And then it's going to give you criteria, and it's going to give you standards, and it's going to give you protocols, but it's also going to give you some policies and procedures as well as practices. And all together, we come alongside you as you begin to identify those that God's called to help you do more than go on a mission. We want to help you identify those who are called to become fixtures of your apostleship commission, of your apostolic commission. Again, that's drpaulaprice.com or ppmglobalresources.com.
All right, and we are back for the second half of today's show, the Paula Price Show, with the one and only Dr. Paula Price.
I'm glad to be back. Are we set with some calls? Do you have any calls for me?
Yes, I have a few prayer requests already lined up, and then the other lines are lighting up like a Christmas tree. So I am going to go first to Desiree. And Desiree is calling in today from California. And she needs prayer for her daughter, Dr. Price. Her daughter is 17 years old, and she's not exactly sure what's going on with her physically, but she thinks it could be tied to some intercession that she has started doing. So, Desiree, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you, Prophet Ashley.
Hello, Desiree. How are
you? Hi, Apostle. I'm good. How are you?
Great. Now, Desiree, have we spoken before?
Oh, yes. A few times.
I thought so, because I'm almost remembering Desiree from California. So, welcome back. How about that?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Apostle. I appreciate that.
How can I help you?
Well, I was calling for a prayer for my daughter. You know, sometimes you have a tendency to always tap in and think something spiritual, but I just figured I would get some wisdom from you to not always just think, oh, it's spiritual and she's got a burden of intercession that's coming upon her, and that's why she's so emotional. And, you know, so she's explaining certain things to me, and I said, you know what, let me just call and get some agreement for my daughter, just to hopefully be able to direct her in the right way and maybe not be missing something that's maybe right in front of me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you this. What is it that she's experiencing?
What she kind of explained to me last night is she gets into these emotional burdens, it seems like, where she's overwhelmed with emotion. And we've had conversations about it before, and I automatically just thought, okay, well, you're an intercessor, so when these burdens come, you know, you just need to pray them through, and that's when God wants you just to pray, and once you pray, then those burdens are lifted. But I just don't want to make sure that I'm not directing her in intercession when she could just be an emotional teen, and it's something that maybe I'm missing.
Okay. First of all, I applaud you for calling in to explore that a little deeper. When she started, when she brought this subject up, what were you doing? Were you all having dinner? Were you just talking about something else? What prompted her to bring this to you?
Well, we do go to a Wednesday night church service Bible study, and I do believe she was in the youth group, and I believe that she did receive prayer. And when we were driving home, before we actually got out of the car, she just, you know, said, "Mom, I want to share this with you." And so she just started sharing with me.
Now, when she says that she gets emotional, is she telling you that she cried, she broke down, she got nervous, she was slain in the spirit? What did she give you as signs of this burden?
One thing is we have put her on, like, the last 3 months, we put her on some birth control. And we do understand that there's mood swings with that. So I think ultimately we were like, okay, well, it's just the pills. But I think now she's exploring the option that maybe it is the pills, but then the burden is so much and the mood swings are so bad that she's thinking it could be something more. So I think she's trying to explain it to me so that I can understand where she is and understand why she's acting the way she's acting, and to get understanding and help of how to deal with it, because she's feeling like she's losing control in a sense.
Well, let me ask you this: why did you put her on birth controls? She's 17.
Because she was being
married?
No, but she was being active. She was being active.
Okay, so no, I want to walk this out, because you say she's trying to be an intercessor for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
She's trying to pray for other people while she's sexually active.
Uh huh.
Let me ask you another question. Are you married?
No, I'm divorced.
Okay. So I probably could ask you if you're active, but that probably wouldn't be a good question to ask. But here's
I'm
my
not.
Concern. I didn't think so. I could have said it knowing you. So it's okay for her to be active,
mm-hmm.
but it's not okay for you. Do you realize how we really, in other words, we want our kids to be good youth group folk. We want her to serve the Lord. Now, you can't serve the Lord active, but she can.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, Desiree, but that's kind of like not ringing like God to me. And so
right.
if she's under attack, that's because she's out there with dirty garments on trying to take on the devil that she's playing with. How can Satan cast out Satan? She needs an intercessor. She's got no business interceding for anyone right now. And you are very wise right now. I would say to you, I'm impressed with you, because you were wise enough to know something was off.
Mm-hmm.
And you were wise to know that, and I know, you're doing culture. I don't want her to get pregnant. You know, so you're doing culture. But that's fine. But she's got to decide who she serves.
Right.
Because you made that decision, you should not tell her that it give her the impression that God somehow or another is easier on loose moral youth than he is on loose moral adult. That's not a good message for us to give our young people. And so I would say to you that her emotions, it might be the pill, but also God disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's not clean before him.
Right.
And I know that that's not something you want to hear. I'm sure that that's not probably going to make me endear me to you. But if I mislead you, then I need to just never take your trust again and take a call. I take these calls because you all trust me to tell you the truth. And the truth
right.
is, this girl cannot intercede. She has no business handling God's holy things at all, according to his standard. And so she's not covered. She's not protected. So the first thing she has to do is decide who's her God. If she wants to be active for a few years, then she needs to loose the things at the altar.
Right.
Now, I'm not making a judgment. I could make a judgment call on that, but I don't want to deal with that right now. I'm dealing with the holy things of God. We the church, have forgotten that God is holy.
Right.
And I know you are proud of her for wanting to serve God, but you also have to realize that she's not exempt from the same decision you made.
Right.
And so I would suggest that, number one, If she wants to sit up in prayer and all of that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not for putting folk out the church as a result of that, but they don't, nothing active handles the holy things of God. That is why he made a big deal about the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
And we better be glad for Jesus, because, you know, the priests, they got wiped out. Are we glad
right.
for the blood of the Lamb? And so I would suggest, honey, I'm glad for it. I don't know about you, baby, but I thank God for the blood all the time.
Telling you.
Baby, if he took back the blood, we'd be, I'm back. Whew, I had a visit for me. Baby,
Jesus.
We need the blood of the Lamb. If he did not have to get on the cross for anybody, we can say, whew, Jesus. I know I put a hammer in that nail. But anyway,
yeah.
But the truth of the matter is you cannot have a double standard, and you don't want to imply to her that God has a double standard. We do that around the kingdom, and that's why God's not moving in his church, because we let our kids say, well, kids are going to be sexually active, but you can't commit adultery. You can't fornicate, but the kid can. Now, I don't
right.
understand that. I'm lost on that. And I'm not talking about you personally. I'm talking about the standard. This is the standard
right.
about Christ. And so, but God, obviously, because you are a godly woman, he's talking
mm-hmm.
to you. And because you're godly, he's talking to you.
Right.
Because a lot of parents, he's not saying anything. He's letting the kids live the same consequences of immorality that he put in his book.
Right. Mm.
You know, that's what, so he's talking to you for a reason, because he wants you to sit down and ask your daughter which way you want to go. But she cannot be an intercessor going out there talking about, can you imagine, that's like the, you know, like the criminal talking about he's going to go out there and chase down criminals. Okay, that's not going to work.
Right.
And so I'm going to need you to really have a good talk with her, and I'm going to pray
mm-hmm.
for you, and because apparently she has picked up something, being
right.
unprotected, and so she's picked up something, and so I'm going to pray for her and pray for you. And I'm going to say again, I celebrate you. I applaud you for being a mom who's trying to serve God and trying to do the right thing, even in this hard culture. That's a difficult
right.
call. I'm going to tell you right now, I raised three daughters, and they're done. Thank God they're done.
Yeah.
Okay, they're done. You know, I couldn't do it again in this culture. Oh, God help. But I do applaud you for what you've done, and I want to celebrate you for that. But I think, Desiree, you know me well enough to know that when you called me, I was going to tell you the truth, right?
Oh, yeah, no, without a doubt. I mean, that's what I called for. I wanted direction to help her in the right way and not go to what, you know, the spiritual side of it and be like, oh, it's this and it's this. And I'm like, no. I need to call. Get wisdom. I don't know.
Yeah. But I also want to speak to her physical well-being. If she's having these issues, she still should contact her doctor. You still should
right.
get her checked out. I mean, even if we think things are spiritual, my first admonishment for everyone who has those that persuasion, still go to your doctor. Let your physical self be ruled out before we just lapse into, well, it's just spiritual. You know, I'm not sure how many things we may have buried on spiritual that was really physical. So I'm not a proponent of that. I would say, speaking to her physical health, take her to her doctor and let her doctor check her out. In addition to that, you have some honest talks with her about which way she wants to go.
Right.
Now, you know, I'm not going to, whether or not she decides, she's 17 years old at this point, you know. But the
right.
point is, you have still got to decide whether you're not going to, whether or not you're going to guard God's holiness and protect her spiritual well-being.
Okay. Okay.
That's your decision. As far as what she does, she's going to do what she wants to do. But, you know, like, there's no way in the world. When I felt even when I had young kids before, I was like, if you're going to sit there, you're not going to tell me you're going to have boyfriends, girlfriends, you're going to have this one, that one, you're on pills and whatnot, and you're going to handle God's stuff. To me, I can't wrap my head around that. I just can't. But then I believe in holiness. You know, I can't. And I also believe in loyalty. You know, it is a loyalty issue beyond holiness. And so I want you to do that because, and I like the fact that you're doing this because I believe that God's going to use you in this capacity, Desiree.
Mm, okay.
He walks you through this in a few more times. I do believe that.
Okay.
Okay? So
okay.
And to all of our parents who are listening to me today, whatever God told you can't do, you don't have a right to excuse it in your youngsters. So if you need to pull your kids out of certain ministerial things until they make up their mind, you need to do that. And they need to know that there is a standard in Christ. And so I want to take care of that. Now, Desiree, I want to ask you one other thing. How's your job situation?
I still am working as an office manager, but it's funny you ask me that. But God did reveal to me what my next step is, and so I'm really excited about it. I set my deadlines, and so I've been working towards it and just kind of journaling what He's given me, and so I believe I have the next step.
Well, I'm excited to hear that. That's some good news. So you didn't think I remember, did you?
No.
Trust me, let me tell you, I start with the Holy Ghost archives, and then we move into our world, okay? But he's telling you because he's not done with the job thing yet. So you need to get excited because you're going to enter some good stuff coming up not too long from now.
Okay. Thank you.
Amen. Bless you, my beloved. Father, thank you for Desiree. Thank you for a woman who loves you, believes in you, God, and appreciates being your daughter, really appreciates it. And so, God, I thank you for her. I thank you for covering her and her family with the blood of the Lamb. I'm asking you, Father God, now to speak to her daughter and to give her the words. Because, God, as a parent, we have to have your wisdom. So give her the words, Father God, to say to her daughter, to say to her child, so that she will understand that she's flirting with danger and she's flirting with issues that will have long-term repercussions. And God, give her the counsel to have her make the decision as to what she will do and what she won't. If there is a biological reason, if she's having a reaction to those pills, God, I thank you that you will cause her doctor to discover it and that she would get the right treatment for it. And we bless you for it. And we thank you for Desiree's job and changed future. And we bless you for it all, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. I totally appreciate it. Bless you.
Thank you. Okay, keep me posted on the job thing. I'm definitely interested in that for sure.
I will.
God bless.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet.
Yes, ma'am.
Do I have another call?
You have another call. And next on the line, do you need a breath?
No, I'm excited.
All right. Brian from Tennessee, he is calling Dr. Price because, well, he needs a job. Brian, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Amen, amen. Hey, thank you, Prophet Ashley. Thank you also, Apostle Price, for taking my call. Yeah, as she initiated, as far as needing a job, but you know, just real quick, I just want to thank you for the teaching this morning. It definitely it confirmed a lot of things, you know, as it always does, you know, on Thursdays, just before the call can even come, you know, bring confirmation, affirmation concerning some of the things she's dealing with. But you know, multiple things that you talked about this morning really confirmed it and really strengthened me, you know, as you talked about, you know, developing an invincible heart, you know, not being easily broken, and kind of just brought me right back to when you talked about at the first of the year, break every chain, about, you know, three different groups, attainers, sustainers, and maintainers. And so, you know, one of the things you talked about, because you said about this new dispensation that God is moving into, you said whenever God is moving, you said one of the number one questions we need to ask ourselves is, what is it that we need to know in order to be prepared for that? And so that really just, you know what I'm saying, challenged me as far as in trying to, you know, as he's moving, making sure I know what I need to, you know what I'm saying, the wisdom and the preparation that needs to be instilled within me in order to, you know, be in position. So, you know, I just want to, you know, share that just real swift. I don't want to get, you know what I'm saying, knocked out the card or whatnot.
I love it. Okay. You're all right, Brian. You're okay with me? Well, first of all, I want to thank you for that, for sharing, because that's exactly what I was looking for, and you tied it together so well. Brian, did we determine whether or not you're a prophet?
Yes, ma'am.
And what did we say, Brian?
Well, I took the, minister or whatnot.
And that's
the thing. I understand, like, a lot of I guess the processing that I'm having to deal with is dealing with some of those I guess it's character development, and it's trying.
It is, and guess what? You know why it's trying? when she told me, Brian, here's what the Holy Ghost said, Prophet Brian. And I want to tell you something. I don't know who your developers are or who your mentors are, or who your pastor is or your church. But I do know that God is getting ready to change your circle and put you in a more stringent program.
Yes, ma'am.
You're coming up on a season where God says he's going to need your voice rather soon, rather quickly. Oftentimes when he says that, you can rest assured that it's a major shift in your life that God is dealing with. But often, the other part is that God puts you through the process, Brian, because as a prophet, all you have as the sum of your job, your function and duties, is God's voice, properly handling God's voice. God's voice includes his will, his thoughts, his plans, etc. Okay? That's all you have. And if you are on again and off again with his voice, wishy-washy about what you'll say and what you won't say, if you are indecisive about how you want to do this or that, God has got to work all of that out, because there are times that you only get one shot to some ears.
Yeah.
And that one shot has got to land where God needs it to produce everything that God is going after. So if you are accustomed to getting a word from the Lord and you want to edit it and you want to modify it and you want to change it, you want to soften it and soft pedal it, or either you'll hold it until the very last minute when you're just right before Jonah getting ready to be thrown in water, okay?
Yeah.
All of those things God has to work out if you are a serious prophet for him. I have found out, and I've watched over my 30 years of doing this, the more stringent and the more extended the development process, the weightier the actual mantle. Evidently, you and God are arm wrestling over an issue as we speak. And you're going around because you started this thing expecting one thing. You had a very charismatic introduction to the prophetic. And if that was the pool you were going to swim in, that's fine. God is shifting you to another dimension of the prophetic that is not as glossy. And you and God are arm wrestling about it. It is frustrating for you right now because you entered this with one thing in mind, and God is working every day, day and night, to change your mind. Because where he has to send you, that can't travel.
Yeah.
Now, we'll add to that the fact that you have got to continue to surmount some very serious obstacles. God needs you to have faith in the prophet spirit he gave you in order for him to rely on you to perform not just productively, but to perform powerfully in the prophet's office. And that's where you all are right now. God wants to put you in a place where your words make things happen. They don't just inform. God, the spectrum of the prophetic goes from announcers to producers. That's a whole range. The people who just announce it, I see God's going to do da 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 to the producer that like God said about Moses, and when before Moses introduced that office again, where it says when you say something, it's going to be. He wants to get you to a point that when he wants to make, not just say what's going to happen, but he wants to make things happen. Oh, sweetheart, that's a battle.
Yeah.
That's a battle. It's a battle with your intelligence. It's a battle with your psyche. It's a battle with your surrender. And you and God are arm wrestling right now because you just want to skim the cream. And God wants you to take the whole cow.
Yeah.
So we're going to pray for you to get a job. But understand, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, is getting ready to step up into your life, and he's taking the reins of your development. Now, I don't know who's been developing you, but I'm telling you now, he's taking the reins of your development. And if you either you're going to do it 100% his way, or he's going to establish the fact that he did his best, and you refuse.
No, I mean, I have our will.
I'm sorry?
No, I'm not resisting.
Okay.
I embrace it.
Okay, because you're getting ready to have a little bit of an upset. It's going to be a nice little bumpy ride for you for a minute. But God has to do this because the way you were introduced, this has nothing to do with whether you failed or didn't fail. This is you were in, the way you were introduced, says the Holy Spirit, is incompatible with your ultimate prophetic destiny. Does that speak to you?
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
And so you're working on the introduction, and God's trying to get you converted to the installation, actual appointment to the office he will install you in. And you're going to have to shift, or you're going to have just nuts in your life because, you know, God put his hands on you. And I try to tell people all the time, as long as God never opens his mouth, we're probably okay. But the minute his word comes out of his mouth, he's got to assure his word doesn't fail.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to let up. And I, you know, I hope I'm the one that's giving you the sagest counsel you can have. He's not going to let up. So you're going to get a change in your circle of friends and your mentorship and your development. I'm telling you, change is all around you. I just see a big circle. All of your circumstances are going to change. And they have to. Because God has to break rank with how you think this is supposed to go. And get you to a place that you will be developed enough for him to trust you, and it's awesome. It's awesome, but it's weighty. You have a weighty call waiting for you, and that's why some days you feel like God just threw a 100-pound brick on your shoulder. You can just sit down and knees buckle. Your head spins. You're like, oh, God, what is this? A couple of times you thought you were sick, and then God said, no, you're not sick. It's me. You'll be all right, and he is laying this thing on you because you are one of those that God's going to use for difficult things.
Mm-hmm.
So he makes you. And here's what God does to you that frustrates you. You'll launch out, oh, I know how to do this. I got it right. You have it all right. And don't you know the thing turns out wrong? Why? Because God wants you to be good and make it happen what he wants the way he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about one thing, Brian. God called us. Bob Talk records this. You're going to need this. You're going to play this a lot because the counsel that God has given you today, a lot of prophets wish they'd have had it long before now. So you can call back in when this is over all week long, nonstop until infinitum, and you can listen to it. And the last thing I'm going to say to you, if you will allow me to give you the last piece of God's mind on this.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, the last thing I would say to you is God said, I need you to stop being depressed about my call on your life.
Yeah.
You have no idea how that's irking him because you act like he called you to walk the plank or something. Now, you know, there are some prophets he did call to do that. You aren't one of them. And so he needs you to buck up. Whoever it is that's counseling you and mentoring you, They need to stop allowing you to walk around as if the worst thing that ever happened to you was that God called you in his service.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm going to pray for you to get encouraged. And I'm going to pray for a job because he's going to give you a job because God's got a little more work to do with you. So you will get a job. That I'm not doubting. But you're going to have to yield to the Holy Spirit because this thing, you keep saying about how long is it going to take. And God's like, how long are you going to act out? Because however long you plan to act out, that's how long it's going to take. And you know him like that, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so we covered our ground. Did we cover our ground?
Yeah, it's covered.
Okay, so when I hear from you again, you're going to be a joyful, happy prophet.
Absolutely.
Who is gainfully, and Jesus said, who is gainfully employed. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank
hey,
the Lord
amen.
You. Hallelujah. Father, thank you so much for Brian. I thank you, Lord, that like so many young people, you're getting your team ready. You're gathering them for the next wave, the next move. God, I praise you, number one, for putting him to work, giving him his job, putting him in gainful employment, and for doing it quickly, God. I thank you for ordering his steps to the place that you've already picked out and lead him to that place. But, God, I also thank you for the new trainers, the new handlers that you're putting in his life to get him ready. What you will do as his mentor or mentee, I should say mentor. I want to say that. God, even the church that does change, I thank you that he's going to accept the changes and yield to your development so that you are glorified and his destiny is not shipwrecked. We bless you for it all, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father Barnes.
You're welcome. God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye. Prophet?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Amen.
Do I have another call?
You do, and guess what? I have some. There are no shortages of callers. We have next on the line Tanisha from Texas. And Tanisha is calling. Takisha from Texas is calling. She has a comment about the show, your exhortation earlier. And then she would also like prayer for fulfilling her vision in a nutshell. So, Takisha, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi, hello. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Takisha. Thank you for calling. I'm glad. Now, is this your first time calling me?
Yes, it is. So please excuse me if I stutter because I'm, like, so excited. I'm shivering right now.
Well, I'm glad you called. And listen, relax. We've got time. Let's talk about what it is you want to share. I'm interested in your comments, and then we'll talk about your prayer.
Okay, well, just getting to the comment, I just want to say that I was just so blown away and just, like, richly blessed by your first half of the show because I'm currently living that. And when you talked about how God will move, you know, he's training up people for this next big move of his, and he'll move you away from, you know, everything that you've ever been comfortable to and from, like, I guess, friends and families and stuff, he actually did that to me, and I'm going through that now. And so just to hear what you had to say just really, like, really comforted my soul or whatever because I'm being trained by him at this current moment. And I know that I'm called to be a prophet, and I have ran from God for the last 4.5 years, and I just got tired and decided to just, you know, give in to do whatever it is that he wants me to do.
Well, I'm and glad. So Congratulations.
I really appreciate it. I'm sorry.
I'm glad. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It feels good to have the answer. So let me ask you a question. As you were waiting for to talk with me, what single instruction could you say God gave you as a result of what he spoke to you this morning?
Oh, my gosh. The single instruction that I really got was to have patience and hold on because I've just been one of those people, like, when God, when. Like, I know he's told me certain things, and he's even had people, different prophets, come to me and tell me things that I know was from him. And I had just been like, when, God, when? Because I know that this is my season, this is my year or whatever for restoration and double because I went through a job season, me and my family. And so I know that that was like the most important thing that he's telling me is to be patient and just wait in his time and to continue to just study and read and prepare myself for whatever it is that he has for me because I know that it's going to be huge. I know that it's whatever it is, I know it's huge.
Well, let me say this. I know you're a prophet, so this is not a question about that, but you're not really called to the church. Are you called to the marketplace?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah,
I don't know how you just knew that, but yes.
Well, I better know it if I'm going to have a show talking about giving people the word of the Lord. I probably should know stuff like that. I should be able to pick up a few things now and again. Here's what I want to say to you. You are... You know, you've been wrestling about that, and you've been wrestling, and you've even, I want to ask you, how old are you? And, I mean, nobody knows what your last name is, but tell me, how old are you?
I'm 35.
Okay. Here's why I'm asking, because between your age, from the time you were 28 years old, you and God turned a major corner. And I kept thinking, God said, go back to what he said to you when you were 28. Whatever
Oh, wow.
You went through, and God was real. That was a time that he broke ranks with your whole old life. And I mean, he broke ranks. I see that there was a sharp severance. And so I'm hearing God say to you, but it's what he told you at 28 that is now coming to pass in this era of your life. Now, you're 35. By the time you're 37, you're going to be in full swing.
Whoa.
Full swing. So you better have your documents ready, your I's dotted, your T's crossed, because you don't have as much time as you think to get ready, and you think you're more ready than you are. You're ready to stop suffering, but I don't know if you're ready to start entering.
Okay.
So because you are called to do something that's very large, and you are definitely a marketplace prophet, and that means you have to be careful of the people you connect with.
Wow, okay.
Now, the last thing I want to tell you is that you will go into your marketplace venture. God says don't let somebody talk you out of the church because you have got to have your blessings and a covering for what you're going to do. You need to know somebody praying for you.
Wow, okay.
All right, because, see, you like to sidestep church a little bit and you have really spiritual reasons for it, but that's not going to work when you undertake this venture.
Okay, okay.
And so you do need that. So I hear God saying to you, you're right. You are the reason you feel rest is because it's near. It's kind of like you get ready. You know, you're in that last trimester.
Yes, I am. I am actually in my last trimester, and my baby's head is stuck.
Exactly. And it's stuck because you're pushing. You're pushing too soon. Wait. Just let that uterus push the baby out. Don't help yet.
Okay.
You're tired of the discomfort. And that's what God is saying to you right now. Relax and breathe. Just breathe. Your world is not going to fall apart. A lot of the devastation you think is going to happen is more smoke and mirrors than anything else. Because God said, I've got you in my hand. I've got this worked out to the T, to the very hour. I mean, now, you're right. You're at the end of the time. But you can't rush the clock.
Okay.
So you go back, check your paperwork. Check your business, get your logo right, start working on how you're gonna brand, because you've got a lot of groundwork to do.
Okay. Wow.
Make sure, because see, when you start running up on the people with money, they don't want to hear that you got your business plan in the word processor and you know it's over there with the management person. Now, you don't want to hear that. Be ready, beloved. Be ready. Get ready. Be ready, and get ready.
Okay. Wow.
All right. I have heard.
Thank you.
Well, listen, let me finish. Now, did you say you have children?
Yes, I have 5 children.
Okay. I want to talk about, is your middle child a daughter? Who's the daughter?
I have an oldest daughter, and my baby is a girl.
Okay. So the middle child is a boy?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I hear about a daughter. Is there some sort of, is there like, you know, and I know it sounds weird, but do you have a spouse or relationship with other children? Because there is are you the middle child? Because I'm hearing something about a middle child who's a daughter.
No, I'm an oldest child, and my 2 oldest children, which is my oldest daughter and my oldest son, are from a previous relationship. They're not my husband's biological children, but my last 3 children are his biological children.
Gotcha. Okay. And so it's 2 boys and a girl, the last 3, and then you got a girl and a boy in the top.
Yes.
Girl, you know, you're busy. I'm going to praise God for you, baby. You know about that last trimester real well.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Well, I want to talk to you about your middle child, and then I'm going to talk about a daughter. The first thing God is saying to you is that, which one is athletic? Because that's the one we're talking about.
Well, they all play sports.
One that's really athletic. Who is that child?
That's probably my youngest son, Jalen. He's very athletic.
Okay. Here's what God is talking about. You have an athlete that's growing up that you're really not taking very seriously because you think it's kind of like a whatever. But God wants you to know.
Huh? He's talking about my middle child, JJ. Oh, gosh.
Okay, you're not taking this child seriously, and yet you almost think the kid is got stars in his eyes because this kid watches everything, he's trying to be heard. The Holy Spirit said, do not allow his gift to be lost. Don't allow him to sink into this depression over this because you're not listening. Pay attention to this middle child who is athletic because it's going to pay off.
Okay.
All right, now, this daughter, I don't think it's a baby daughter. I think it's a bigger girl. I don't know how old your baby daughter is, but you say baby.
My baby, she'll be 5, and my oldest daughter just turned 18.
Okay. Then I want the oldest daughter. Now, this oldest daughter, I don't know. Did she finish school or not? Because I'm thinking
she's supposed to graduate this month at the in 2 weeks.
Right. She's not wanting to go on to college.
I know. I know she doesn't. She wants to go to the Air Force.
Listen to me. You have great kids. Let me just say this. You have great kids.
I know.
You have great kids, and the Lord has smiled on you a lot. But even though she doesn't want to go to college now, between the time she's 22 and 25, she's going to wish she had.
I know.
To go to college in the military, she needs to go because God has high expectations for her. This is a very interesting young child. She likes her way, but she also likes to serve. This girl is going to be an amazing businesswoman. From the time of a little girl, she can handle money and make money. You don't even know why. She always had some. This child here needs to get an education.
I know. I keep telling her that because
I know that. Well, now you can tell her God told her. Here's what it is. You know, sometimes kids have such a bad experience in school that we think they don't want to continue their education for academic reasons. But sometimes high school can leave such a bad taste in your mouth, you're like, I just want out of anything close to that.
And it's been like that for her. It's been really tough for her to get through high school. Really, really, she struggled so much, so much.
Well, she had a lot of help with her struggle in high school. And so when she gets out, just give her a couple of years. Don't nag her. Give her a couple of years and watch God turn this around because she's going to do well. And you're worrying about nothing, but she will be ready to go to school at least by the time she gets 21 or so years old. But she has to go to school. You tell her she has to get a degree.
Okay, I will.
All right? And because sometimes kids just need a breather from the foolishness of high school. And sometimes it's so ugly. And, especially if they got picked at, bullied, passed over, whatever. Oh, my gosh. They don't even want to I'm out. Just leave me. I'm out. I don't want to know anything look like. I'm going to have to extend this part of my life. I'm done with it. So you can relax. She's got a great future. She will not get lost. There is no family genetic curse that's going to come down on her. You know, you can lose that because that's free. She's not going to – that's not her. You're going to see
okay.
a wonderful young woman. She's going to be fine. There's no sins of the father. You know how we like to do. Cut that. That's not her.
Okay.
So
thank you.
We covered a lot with you, don't you think? You know, you really kind of – you know, you kind of got all your eggs kind of handled in your basket today.
Oh, God. I came on the line wanting to hear a word from God, and he gave me one. So I'm so grateful and so thankful for that.
Well, listen, and here's the beautiful part. You go back, and you can listen to it again and again. You can play it for your family. You can play it for your husband, your daughter. You can play it over and over again. Just go back to Blog Talk Radio. When your call is over, Ashley's going to tell you all how to do that. It's going to be wonderful. But this is a word your whole family needs to hear again and again and again so they
yes.
know that you are a family that's blessed of God.
Oh, God. Yes, thank you.
You have had some serious concerns about that, and I'm telling you, you can put that to rest for whatever reason. You know, God is a merciful God. He's a gracious God and all of that. But one thing we need to know, God has his own interest that he's working on in the planet. You know, when we see God's good pleasure, we just think that means, you know, us today, we think pleasure is just a happy moment. No, God's interest. God is working on his interest, and you have some interesting kids to God. Amen.
Oh, God, thank you.
You're welcome. Let me pray for you before I let you go. Father, thank you for Takesha. Thank you for her family. Thank you for the peace they need. Thank you for the clarity that she's been praying for. And, Lord, I praise you for watching over every word to perform it. Lord, I thank you for taking that athlete and now causing him to distinguish himself and to soar in what you've caused him to do. I ask that you watch this young daughter as she goes into the military. God, keep her in your will. Keep her in your righteousness. Lord, I know what she's going to do. I know what she's called to be. And, God, rather than scare her mother, we're just going to write it and wait. because this is one amazing young woman. And I ask that you continue to strengthen their home and strengthen their family. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Woo. You take care, beloved.
All right.
She gone. Wow. Ashley, she's just gone. She just left us.
Yeah. She's left us. I mean, she's on the line, but she left us. Bless him. Bless him.
She's off in heaven. She's off thanking God. I got to go thank my God.
Wow.
Yes, I would like her. I want to write to her. I'm going to tell her what her daughter is going to be, what God's calling her daughter to do, and I don't know what it means, but I'm going to write it for her. And so make sure, if you're still on the line, Takesha, just go to my website and just leave me your email or something, and I'll write it to you. Well, Prophet Ashley, I think I got time, unless I'm wrong, for one more call. First of all, Ashley, tell everybody how they can listen to this again.
You can listen to this again anytime, day or night, 24/7, by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. If you don't want to remember all of that, you can't remember all that, or you haven't saved it in your browser, you can always take the easy way and go to drpaulaprice.com and click the button there. On the homepage, Prophet Adia has it set up where you can be redirected to our Blog Talk Radio station, so you can find us. These shows are available 24/7. You can go back anytime, day or night, and hear this word over and over. You can go back 6 months from that, from here. Whatever you want to do, you can go and listen to these shows. And by all means, share. Share this link with as many people as you can. We want to get this word out there.
Woo! That's awesome. Well, I think I have time for one short, easy call. Do I, Ashley?
Okay, well, we'll see. If it's short and easy. We have Tristina from Maryland, and she's calling because she wants to comment about your exhortation and Adventures in Prayer. Tristina, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Good afternoon, Apostle Price, and thank you for Prophet Ashley. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful. How about yourself, and how's it going in Maryland?
Oh, it's great. The weather's wonderful. And I'm truly blessed. As last night, I encountered your book, The Encounters, Adventures in Prayer. And so I sound tired because I still haven't been asleep yet. And I listened to it over and over again, and it's awesome. And I thank you. I thank God for you, and I thank you for enduring, just like you mentioned in your exhortation, the need for us to endure. That's the problem that I have, and that you mentioned all that you had been through in process of birthing that book, and I thank you for enduring and not even cutting short, not a minute, so that you can feed us. And you've made a sort of like a pioneer for the path that God has placed me to follow, and I thank you so much for it. I was feeling burnt out also, so I decided to go onto the website, and that's where I was led to download the Adventures in Prayer. And so I was listening to it, and it fed me. It fed me greatly. The thing about the need to make sure that we are set apart from the enemy, and not any way that we can be seduced, in order so that the Holy Spirit can use us at any moment. And like I said, I haven't been asleep yet, because I was just so excited by the information of that, and then listening to you at the first half of the show, it's just like putting the icing on the cake. And I thank you, and I thank God so much for you and your ministry.
Amen. Well, thank you for your encouragement. You know, it means a lot. I appreciate it, and I'm glad. So are you in a prayer group, or are you starting a prayer group?
No. I'm still waiting for my prayer partner, let alone a prayer group. So I'm still praying as the Lord has me pray, and I'm studying along with being mentored by Prophet Adia. And so I'm just waiting for what the Lord has for me. And that was another problem I was having. It's sort of like being hung up, and I'm trying to find out where we're going or what's going on. And my ability to accomplish things, just I hit a brick wall totally. And so I needed to know what was going on, so I needed to enhance my prayer. So that's why I chose the Adventures in Prayer, and it was extremely helpful for me.
I'm glad. And I tell you what, that is an interesting book. You know, when I wrote that book, Christina, my God, what am I talking about? Maybe, I'm going to say mid-90s. I wrote it for a citywide prayer venture that we were going to do. And I wrote the book, interesting, I set up a prayer venture because the Lord was just saying, you know, pray for your city. So I'm thinking, when I get ready to pray for the city, I don't even know from who I am. You know, I'm just coming in ministry good. I don't know anybody. I'm just, you know, you just blindly obey God. So I'm praying. I set up the date, and I set it up as a prayer breakfast because, you know, I want to get it out the way. It's only going to be a handful of people. You know how it is because, you know, when you say prayer, you're going to get six folks.
Yes.
Now, you say prosperity, you're going to get 600. But we said prayer. Okay? So I said prayer. Well, I go there, and I write this book because I want to do a training. And it's 4 hours, a breakfast and a class to follow. I do this, write this book, and I kid not, I walk in the room, and it's 101 people. I was not ready.
That's right. He prepared it for you.
I was not ready. I'm going to tell you right now, I was not ready. And I'm telling you, we had our training, and the book is an outgrowth of that because I started as, I think it was like maybe, I want to say something like a PowerPoint or whatever. But what I remember from that day was God said, you know, they came in, and I'm telling you, we had prophets, intercessors. I thought, I'm nobody. They don't know my name. I didn't even make a big, you know, I so didn't think anybody was going to show up. We didn't have enough food. So I'm going to tell you where we were. We were like scrambling to run around the corner, to get the restaurant around the corner to feed the rest of the people. And so because I was convinced nobody wanted to pray. Well, I tell you what, we had a move of God that morning. And then after that morning, God prophesied for like ever, it seemed like. And from there, we moved into, I moved into completing that book. And God began to teach me about having prayers that deal with communities, not just your church prayer. And I mean, nobody cared about what the religions were. We had all kinds of people. But I will remember that day. It was an amazing. That's how that book was born. And again, I was in a dark place. And I have to go on record to say to you that whenever I'm in a dark place in Christ, when I start reaching out in prayer and not just praying for me, but reaching out to invest prayer in others,
yes,
God has always changed my life, always. And so as I speak to you today, I say to you, get ready for the change and start finding out who God wants you to pray for.
Well, I've just recently been led to create prayers for Jerusalem.
But start with that and
yes,
put them out there. You know, I don't care if you just start by writing them and just saying them every day and hearing what God will say, but make sure that you don't overreach where you're able to go. Because remember, prayer goes into life gates, and people don't realize that. When you can go in a city, when you go for a country, you're going into a city gate. When you pray for people, you're going into a life gate. So we're running out of time, so let me get a prayer for you so I can get into your life gate and begin to pray for what God wants. And if you want, we can resume this. If you have anything else, you can call us back next Thursday. But we're running out of time, and I don't want to let you go without prayer. Father, thank you for Tracina. Lord, continue to cover her. God, we call her prayer partner out of anonymity into her life, into her sphere of life, so that she can take on what you called her to do with a partner. We also thank you for putting her on a prayer team. Get her in the church, God, or get her to be on a prayer line for somebody. But, God, let her use this, for she is truly called to be one of your intercessors in this hour. And we bless her life, and we ask you to continue to bless her for harvest. In Jesus' name, Father, amen and amen.
Thank you very much. We bless abundantly.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet.
Yes, ma'am. We're down to the wire of another call.
Yeah. Can't take another call, huh?
No, ma'am, not today.
God bless everybody. All right, Ashley, we'll get together again next Thursday. You guys be prosperous, and go back and listen again. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price thanking you for joining me on this week's show. I want to remind you that the counsel and wisdom, the prayer and prophecy that you enjoy today does not have to end with today's program. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/ Paula Price Show and join tens of thousands of people who re-listen to my program every week. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can relive the experience every single day. God bless you.